The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
My next guest has helped to combat virus outbreaks in the past, working in West Africa in 2011, where Ebola claimed thousands of lives. Chief Executive of Concern Worldwide, Dominic McSorley, believes that if there is a significant outbreak of COVID-19 in poorer countries, social distancing and good hygiene, let alone a proper health system, won't be there to protect people. And Dominic is on the line. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, first of all, I was watching some coverage yesterday from South Africa, and one poor individual policeman trying to get people to physically distance themselves was having no luck at all. I mean, in areas of poverty, in areas of high concentrations of populations, this is going to be very, very, very difficult.
Let me start by saying, you know, we as an organization are used to dealing with crisis, but certainly this pandemic is unprecedented. And I'd say we have never dealt with anything on this scale that is not only affecting our home countries, it's affecting every country we work in. And our priorities right now are the health and safety of our staff, to continue the life-saving programs that we're already doing, and then scaling up. But you're right, the particular areas, I think, of focus, of worry for us are areas of high concentration. You know, so you have 900,000 refugees, Rohingya refugees in camps where social distancing is really not realistic. You have the same in Sudan. You have in Kinshasa, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, 10 million people. But I think the answer to this is we've learned a lot from Ebola. We've learned a huge amount of practical things that can be done around community mobilization, around providing additional water points, around providing soap. And we are, you were just talking there about cocooning. This is now a strategy that we did use in West Africa during the Ebola crisis, where we are putting people at particular risk, where we are removing those, putting them into different parts of camps and trying to protect them to the extent that we can.
The extent of, ICU availability, ventilators that we in the West are concerned about, how many thousands of ventilators we can get our hands on. I mean, this is pie in the sky stuff in the third world.
Well, yeah, and I think the one thing from lessons from Ebola was the biggest tragedy of Ebola was it was a failure of development and a failure of investment in health services to prevent this from happening. I mean, if we think we have challenges here in the health service, the Democratic Republic of Congo has a population of 90 million and they currently have 45 ventilators in that country, which again, I think goes back to this point. It is around about focusing on what can be done and prevention. And a huge amount can be done. But realistically, there is no point in telling people to go to the hospital in a situation such as the Democratic Republic of Congo. What you have to do is focus on the prevention to get them, prevent them from getting to that point. And they were successful in stopping Ebola. Community mobilization, not the treatment centers, stopped Ebola in West Africa.
So what about your own staff at the moment? Obviously, you've got to protect them, but they will be the people out there trying to spread these public health messages.
Yeah, and I think, our staff, certainly in Dublin or in the UK, those ones are all working remotely. We've been using technology. And as everybody has, it's been working successfully. And in many of the countries we're working in, they have adopted the same. But, you know, there is a lot of fear and there is a lot of panic. And I think what we've really been trying to do is to get our staff the very basic knowledge that they can self-protect to the extent possible. They are used to working in insecure environments. Many of them are used to working in war zones. Many of them are actually used to having to stay at home for different reasons. So they've already got an advantage. But quite clearly, what they're going to need is there is a window of opportunity here. Africa is a couple of weeks behind Europe and the US. Mm-hmm. The London School of Tropical Medicine has said by mid-May, every African country will probably have at least 10,000 cases. So there is a huge opportunity, but it is only one opportunity to scale up prevention to try and reduce the spread of this across the continent.
Now, there are lessons that you feel we can learn here from the experience that you had with Ebola. What would be the most important lessons?
I think it is around behaviour change, Pat. You know, and I think the country here in Ireland is doing phenomenally well in, and I think the government as well, in terms of bringing in guidelines and people 90% compliance with those. And those really are the lessons. It is the importance of community health workers. It is the importance of the frontline workers. It is all of these through community mobilization, through behavior change. And this is the kind of thing that we have been pushing and adopting in whether it's cholera, whether it's meningitis, whether it is Ebola. Practical things about washing is what is critically important. And it is also about working collectively. We've seen how people are working together here. You have the UN, the international NGOs, the Irish NGOs working together in harmony in each of these countries. And that is really the greatest strength in combating something on this scale.
When I compare, you know, what you are facing in the areas in which you work in the third world with the challenges we face here, you seem to be, you know, quite sanguine and quite optimistic in terms of your abilities to cope. And we tend to be very pessimistic about our possibilities of coping.
I wouldn't in no way want to underestimate the scale of the crisis that we are now potentially going to face. You only need to look at Syria. There are 9 cases inside Syria. We know there are many, many more. And the biggest challenge that we are going to have in any of these is access. The UN Secretary General has called for 2 things. He's called for a ceasefire to end conflict so agencies can go in and respond and prevent this. And secondly, he's put out an appeal for 2 billion. The thing is, we have to change how we do things. The one thing we have to learn about this is change is possible at a fast speed. And we need to look at that in relation to conflict, in relation to shoring up budgets to prevent this globally. If this isn't going to happen in the next couple of weeks, we will be dealing with a much, much greater tragedy than we're currently seeing.